So, would you mind telling me what your name is and what you do?
Okay. My name is Joel Bacon. I'm pastor at First Lutheran Church in Hayward.
So, can you tell me about how COVID has made your work or life more difficult?
Well, I think the main way it's made it more difficult is that by obeying the sound science, we got painted with a broad stroke of liberal. This was politicized when it didn't have to be. And so just following sound science became a political label. And it's hard to serve the congregation that is split. The ELCA's political makeup is the same as society's. It's one of the only denominations like that. And so by following the science, we kind of alienated 46% of our congregation. Made 46% of the congregation mad because of, frankly, where they get their news.
Unfortunately, it's all to keep them safe, so
Yeah,
it's not much you can do.
it was the right thing, but unfortunately, this was politicized. Much, a lot of things, a lot of science things have been politicized. I just didn't think this one would be.
What safety concerns do you have while working at the church and in the community?
Well, the safety concerns are the people I'm with following the protocols for mask wearing, and keeping a distance. So I don't know what people are doing in their free time. You see, there's a lot of places full. You know that a lot of the spreading has happened at hospitality places. And so you're worried about catching COVID from someone else who's frankly not been following the mandates. So that's the concern I have personally. Communally, when people are lonely and when people are hopeless, they do sometimes harmful things. And so I'm worried about the number of people who have lost their social connections and are maybe engaging in at-risk behavior. So that's pastorally.
A lot of things to think about. So, how's quarantine forced you to change the way that you do your job?
I'm much more online. I'm much more electronic. Whereas most of my work before would, aside from worship leading, would have been, very intimate face-to-face, being with someone in their hospital room, visiting people in their home, going wherever they are, and being with them. And now it's electronic. And so now I'm phoning people. People are dying without last rites, things like that. And so it's made me a virtual pastor, rather than like a physical pastor.
There's a lot of things about being a pastor that kind of requires, or at least was thought to require, being in person.
Yeah, 93% of communication is nonverbal. And so it's almost as if you're only 7% communicating. I think we're getting better in Zoom and from some other things of reading people, although Zoom is not the clearest format. It's not, you don't get your best picture. And so tone of voice and facial nuances are, and even how you hold your body is large part of how you communicate. So there's a big chunk of how we communicate that's been taken away during this time.
So, have there been times during pandemic when you've witnessed people or groups of people behaving irrationally or belligerently?
I've seen people not wearing masks and intentionally walking close to people who are. I thought that the parade with the guns and the rebel flags, I thought that the truck ATV parade in which no one was wearing masks and everyone hanging around. And even, you know, seeing film of Sturgis, you know, and people, you know, giving the finger to reporters who were wearing masks and stuff. Definitely the anti-maskers have been, you know, some of them have been going out of their way to be rude and saying that they're free. Well, you can't speed either. You can't drive the wrong way down the interstate highway. There's a lot of ways where, for public safety, we're not free. Yet, it doesn't really affect us to follow those maxims. You know, if we drive by the speed limit and go the right way, if we stop at stop signs, I don't see how our freedom is being curtailed. And if you're wearing a mask, I don't see how your freedom is being curtailed. But yes, I have seen, and it is groups. And frankly, I think they enjoy being intimidating. I think they enjoy, there's kind of a bully factor. They like being bullies, and they like responding to that. They like tough talk, and not big on compromise, not big on the community words, the living together words. They're more into, I can do whatever I want, you can F off. That's kind of their view of freedom.
So what's been your greatest fear pertaining to your worker life?
I think it's of being a target simply because of following protocols of being a target.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot, there's been a huge uptick in hate crimes, and almost all the hate crimes are coming from the right. They call them warm now, white, angry, right-wing male. That's an FBI term, evidently. I don't know that that's confirmed, but it sort of describes... there's a lot of people that have, because of the public rhetoric and the trickle-down, who feel that they have permission to not only believe their hatreds, but to act on it. And I have been afraid of being a victim of some sort of vandalism or violence because of what I represent and by obeying the protocols. And it has happened. Not much to myself, but I've had some colleagues and that has happened to. So aside from fearing catching the virus, I'm more afraid of the people who don't believe it's real.
Very valid fear. Unfortunately, a dangerous world we live in nowadays.
Well, I think it always has been dangerous, but I do believe that in recent years, frustrated white right-wing people have been getting more violent. And it, you know, in my childhood, it was the left wing that was violent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the protesting, the looting, the damaging things, setting off bombs, that was almost all from the left wing when I was a kid. And now a majority of the violence seems to come from the right wing. It swings back and forth.
Extremism either way is not good for anyone.
Well, once you're an extremist, the other person becomes an object and no longer becomes a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's easy to do something bad to them.
Right. So, taking a little bit of a shift, are there any positives to the situation surrounding COVID that you've experienced or witnessed?
Well, a lot of elderly people that said, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, have embraced the new technologies. You know, we got 88-year-olds buying iPads. They're having fun with this. But, you know, if you look at all the changes they've been through in their life, this is just one more change. They've been changing their whole life. That thing the old people can't change is not true. So I think you're actually seeing the elderly people rolling with things, and that's kind of fun. And the creativity, there's been a lot of creativity that's been spurned by this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun. And then the people who have just not given up. You know, I say we never stopped worshiping. We just changed how we worshiped. And there were a bunch of people that helped with that. you know, for years, worship has been something that's been done by two or three people. And actually, to pull this off, we needed a lot more people to pull it off. And there were willing people. So I've seen a lot of resilience and creativity, which has been fun.
Would there be anything else you'd want to add?
I think what I've noticed is the change in what freedom means. I think freedom has shifted for a lot of people from, you know, the freedom from tyranny or the freedom to actualize to licentiousness, which means I can do whatever I want. Freedom has never been I can do whatever I want. That's licentiousness, and I've seen a lot of people shift toward that. And it's almost like narcissism is starting to show up in normal people. You know, it used to be only narcissists. Narcissism was in narcissists, and thankfully they were relatively rare. And it's, you know, a little bit like the, you know, the self-esteem movement on steroids. You know, I like it, so I'm going to do it. And we're not free to do everything we like to do, because if it harms someone else, we're not free to do it. But there's a lot of people that don't even ask the question, is what I'm doing going to harm someone else? They just like, I'm going to do it because I want to. And that's what freedom means. And so that's, you know, just, I think that's been building, but this situation between COVID and the election has, you know, made it come out a little bit more. So you got almost three competing views of freedom. Freedom from, freedom to, and I can do whatever the hell I want. And all those three freedoms are, like I said, they're competing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this honestly couldn't have happened at a much more volatile time as far as politics goes.
Well, he was elected because he wasn't a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to a crisis, and there's always crisis, politicians, that's where they usually cement their legacy. You know, the second President Bush was not the best administrator. He was not the best communicator. But he handled the crisis actually very well. And, you know, he got reelected. Okay. Usually people that handle crises well get reelected, even if the crisis is still going on. You know, FDR got reelected three times. And so, you know, you see that. And then the other thing that leaders do is they take all the heat so everyone under them can function.
Mm-hmm.
And all leaders have been hung out to dry. Okay, because the leader at the top refused to take any responsibility. He should have took it on himself and said, all right, this is what we're going to do. If you're going to be mad at me. That's leadership. And he says, everyone's going to wear a mask. And everyone's going to slow down. We're going to limit our traveling. We're going to limit our do. And he says, and then, you know, don't get pissy. If you're mad at somebody, mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have freed everyone else, all the other leaders, you know, county supervisors, mayors, pastors. It would have freed everybody up. But now everything we do is questioned from one side or the other. How come you're not closed? How come you're closed? And then people are, you know, judging us because of who we're listening to. When had our leader led, he would have freed everyone else below him to lead without being labeled.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all hung out to dry. And like I said, it doesn't matter where you were, what leadership situation you're in, you're hung out to dry. And, you know, you have, like, if you had the governor making, you know, if the governor wanted to make a mandate that people wear masks, then you had sheriffs saying we won't enforce it. You know, and that's the kind of thing that was created by lack of leadership. But that said, it wasn't reasonable to expect him to lead because he's never led before. He had no leadership resume. He had no political resume, and that's what people liked. And to me, that was his biggest weakness. I guess it's the most powerful political office in the world, and I think highly tested, successful, experienced politician should be the only one that holds it.
It definitely, I mean, it's a reasonable request, honestly.
Well, and to me, that's not left or right. I think that when crises hit, left or right, they handle this, they address the situation not as left or right, they address the situation as president. And usually their measures are strong but moderate. And we got nothing. So that's actually, you know, been, it's been difficult to be, you know, a leader in the middle.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, don't mean to cut you short, but that's, I also right, don't want this to go too long.
Well, you gotta edit it. You gotta make it, put it together.
Yeah. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.